If you would please turn to Colossians 3 and verse 12, Colossians 3:12. As you can see from the outline, we're going to be talking about the difference between charity and love this evening. If you're at Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a pretty good list of qualities that you would look for in a person. If you found somebody that was exhibiting a lot of those qualities, it's the kind of person you'd want to be around. But look at verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So above and beyond all that stuff, put on this concept of charity, the bond of perfectness. And a lot of people don't even understand what charity is, mainly because it's been taken out of their Bibles. But this week I was going to do the John lessons, continuing in that, but my wife requested this message. She said she wanted to hear a lesson that I had taught in the past, so of course I told her to leave me alone. Don't tell me what to do. And all the gentlemen say amen. Now, I said something about being the head of this house, and she said she was the neck that turns the head. But she wanted to hear this lesson, and, you know, when you think about the concept of charity, it's come down to, in our country, the Red Kettle, you know, the Salvation Army. People think that's charity, or, you know, when we were in that hospice center, you see the big giant plaque on the wall, this donation by Bill Johnson, you know, that's charity. I put my big name on the wall so everybody remembers. But in your Bible, charity is a lot different concept. If you want to bookmark 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to be referring to that quite a bit throughout this lesson. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, everybody knows, is referred to as the love chapter. But in your King James Bible, you don't see it as the love chapter. You see it as the charity chapter. 13 will start in verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Verse 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity is better than faith and hope. To which all of you think, well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How is charity better than that? We'll get to that later. We'll save that one for the end. But think about that while we're waiting on it. Charity is better than faith and hope, greater than faith and hope. But as I mentioned before, that your King James Bible doesn't know anything about a love chapter. It's all charity. Most people don't know that because if you look in the NIV, all the times you see charity, it's replaced with love. Same with the ESV. Same with the New King James. All the references to charity are made love. NLT, that's a new popular one, the New Living Translation. That's all love. Holman Christian Standard, New American Standard, it's all love. Charity's taken out and made love. And that's kind of a problem because charity's a very specific word. And your King James Bible was put together at the height of the English language. And the specificity there is key. Not only do I believe it's, you know, God's perfectly preserved word in my English language, but I also believe it was written at the height of the English language. But I mentioned last week, if you remember last week, we were talking about these verses in the last lesson, if anybody remembers. You're supposed to forget what you heard as soon as you walk out the door. But I mentioned last time that I can love peanut butter, but I can't charity peanut butter. They're two different things, and that's what we're going to unpack tonight. Now, I am fully aware that all you good Christian women have a plaque somewhere in your house that says faith, hope, love. And I'm attacking that. I'm saying that's not right. I'm not saying to burn it, but it's more than love. It should be faith, hope, charity. But that doesn't work because faith, hope, love, they're all one-syllable words, and five letters, four letters. But it's faith, hope, and charity. And I know that some people, when they hear me start a lesson like this, the eyes roll back in the head. Oh, brother, he's going to talk about the difference between charity and love. This is ridiculous. But it's important. They're not necessarily the same thing. You're in 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 5. Now, charity, let's do this. Charity, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So with charity, you can have, talking about shortening things, instead of iniquity, I'm going to write sin. Charity has to operate in the truth with no iniquity. Let's look at love. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians. Turn over to John. We're studying the book of John. We've already been through chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. They loved evil. They loved the wrong thing. They loved something that wasn't true. They loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So I have somebody functioning in love of darkness and evil. Love's not quite cutting it so far. You can love an absolutely wrong thing. You can't charity a wrong thing, because charity only functions in truth. You can be happy, wicked, godless sinner and love all day. People do it all the time. But you can't have charity and be loving darkness and evil. They're two different things. And that's, you know, I bring up the issue of the Bible versions because it's kind of a microcosm of what's happened in our culture over the past 200-300 years. Our nation was founded to be religiously tolerant. Okay? We'll put tolerance over here on the charity side. Our culture today is now pluralism. We are a pluralistic society now. We are not a tolerant society. The people who say they're preaching tolerance are preaching pluralism. What's the difference? You've all seen the coexist bumper stickers where they take all the little religious symbols. You know, that's kind of offensive to me because I don't do anything to harm anybody of a different religion or anything like that. But that's what our country was founded on, tolerance. Tolerance meaning we've got our Methodists here. We've got our Baptist here, and we've got our Islamic guy there, and this guy knows for sure that the other two are dead wrong, their belief system is wrong, but I'm going to tolerate it. He can be wrong all day if he wants to. I'm going to tolerate him. That's how our country was founded. So tolerance is when you permit other ideas, you permit people building their churches and believing what they believe and doing what they do. All the while knowing you're permitting something that's deficient and wrong. But our nation was a nation of liberty. So that's how our nation was founded. We're tolerant of each other, but we know everybody else is wrong and I'm right. Correct? Now, with the rise of moral relativism, where that's your truth, this is my truth, that works for you, that's good for me, we're now pluralistic. Meaning, we've got the same three guys. They all believe totally different things, but every one of those ideas is equal and valid. There's no error or deficiency. All ideas are equal and valid. They're all the same. It's all the same stuff. You've heard it before. All religions are basically the same. All religions are basically the same. There is one difference. There is Bible-believing Christianity, which is not a religion. But pluralism says that all ideas are equally of the same value. That's, you know, your Oprahs and people like that. So to translate that, what does that do? Let's not talk about these differences, man. Let's not argue. Let's just love each other. You've seen that, I'm sure, in Christian culture. Because, you know, Christianity, they don't know what to do because the Bible's being attacked. They don't know how to defend it. And they want to be relevant in the society. So what do? They start becoming pluralistic. I'm just, you know, just trying to get people to walk with Jesus and love better. So that's where Christianity's going. And that's, like I said, a microcosm of the Bible version issue. You wouldn't know anything about charity with all the new Bibles because it's not there. So it's all about love. And what the world needs now is love. You know what John Lennon said? Your truth is just as valid as my truth, man. Let's light up some reefer and just love each other. Just gonna love. But you can love all day with pluralism. People do it all day, every day, in churches all over town. You can't charity any day of the week with pluralism because charity has to function in truth. Charity has to say, no, this is right, this is truth, this is what God says, and you two are wrong. So you can't love with charity. But you can definitely love with pluralism. Look at another verse for love. 2 Timothy 3:2. Talking about perilous times coming. What will these perilous times look like? 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Old number one. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, all while loving. Their object of love is a bit misplaced. I love me. But you can do a lot of wrong things. Look at that list going down there. You can do a lot of those wrong things by loving. You can be traitor, heady, high-minded, love pleasure more than love God, deny the power of godliness. You can do all that while loving, but you absolutely cannot charity that stuff. You can't be functioning in charity and do that stuff, but you can be functioning in love all day doing that stuff. And that's what's funny is, like I said before, the pluralistic culture is preaching tolerance. I mean, the first thing, when you call out something and say, no, that's sinful behavior, God hates that behavior. You're so intolerant, bigot. What are they saying? They're saying, you're not pluralistic. You don't agree with all of us, so we hate you. We don't tolerate your lack of tolerance of pluralism. Well, you do. But that's the society we're raising our children in. Hooray. Better understand it. But charity can't be pluralistic because charity cannot embrace error and sing kumbaya with it. Charity has to say, I love you, I'm long-suffering towards you, but you're wrong. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So in its purest sense, and don't get me wrong, there are verses in your Bible that use the word love, and they're talking about a charitable love. What I'm talking about is 1 Corinthians 13. You know, if it said, love rejoices not in iniquity, you'd kind of have a Bible problem there because we just saw those verses of people loving iniquity and loving wrong things. So that would be a wrong word to put in there. But to define the word love in your dictionary, let's listen to this one. I put a little bit of the definition in your outline. An affection of the mind excited by beauty and worth of any kind. So you've got your affections in your mind excited by beauty and worth. Need truth for that? Just need a hot woman, right? You don't need to be functioning in truth. Of worth by any kind, or by the qualities of an object with which communicate pleasure, sensual or intellectual. So, I don't need anybody to love. I can just find something that makes me feel good, that excites my mind and is beautiful to me and excites pleasure in a sensual or intellectual way to me. You don't need Bible or God for that. And in its simplest sense, take yourself back to high school or up to high school, depending on. I just love Bobby. He makes me feel so good. He's so sweet and he's so cute. He writes me these nice letters. Bobby's so nice. He's so popular. You know he's on the football team? What did I just communicate? The teenage girl has had her mind and her intellect excited by good-looking Bobby football player. You know, it doesn't seem like the verse we started with, you know, above all these, put on love. That kind of love doesn't seem like a very high mark to set. You know, if it's just about finding Bobby attractive, we're talking about charity. What happens when Bobby isn't so cute anymore? What happens when Bobby doesn't treat you as nice? I'm just going to get a new boyfriend. I don't like Bobby anymore. Bobby's not pleasing to me anymore, so she's done with Bobby. It's not charity. So that's love. What we're talking about tonight is love versus charity. How does our Bible... I always try to let the Bible and its context of these words define the word for us. So, keeping your finger in 1 Corinthians, turn over to Romans 14. Romans 14. And the whole chapter in Romans 14 is dealing with the stronger brothers, dealing with weaker brothers. Start in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. So in the context, there's people who think you have to abstain from certain foods, some people who think you can eat whatever you want. We know that is the doctrinal truth. According to Paul in the Revelation of the Mystery, you can eat whatever you want. There's no restrictions, but that's the strong in the faith knows that. But look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, once again talking about this food issue, that there is nothing unclean of itself. So that's a pretty good guy to persuade you on something. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ telling you there's nothing unclean of itself. Okay. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy him not with thy meat for whom Christ died. So you get a sense from the passage here of there's a stronger brother who knows, look, this is fine, this is no big deal, but I've got a weaker guy who doesn't know that yet, he's not there yet, he doesn't understand it. You're fully allowed to do this, but don't do it because you're watching out for somebody else. You don't want to destroy him not with thy meat for whom Christ died. Don't grieve the brother. So you get a sense of you're denying yourself something with charity. We're defining charity now. You're denying something yourself that's perfectly lawful, perfectly fine, because you're watching out for somebody else. You're putting somebody else ahead of you and what you want, trying to protect them. So that's one sense of the word. Look at verse 19. There we go. Let us follow, therefore, after the things which make for peace. Once again, we're talking charity, so it's not peace at all costs. It's peace within the truth. And things wherewith one may edify another. Now, edify is a word I don't use too often, but you get the sense from the word of an edifice, you know, a building. You want to edify somebody. You want to build them up. You think the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Every time I look at that picture, it drives me nuts. And it's like, straighten it. But that's the sense, you know, you see somebody's deficient or has a lack in some way, and you're trying to build them up, putting them ahead of you. You know, you want to go eat whatever you want, but you're not because you're trying to not offend them and build them up. So you get that sense right there in that charity context. Turn over the page into the next chapter in Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's no fun. I don't love to do that. That doesn't make me happy or excite my intellectual desires in any way. That's hard. And not please ourselves. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, there's that word again, to edification, building up, stabilizing, establishing, and establishing. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So if I'm just getting a sense of this word charity from the Bible, from this small part here in Romans, charity is a love that just, it's not about, that's beautiful to me. I like that. That makes me feel good. I want that. It's not anything about that. Charity is, it's, I'm building you up to the extent that I'm going to deny me in order to watch out for you and build you up. So it's much, much different than love. It's more excellent, is what 1 Corinthians 12:31 talks about, the more excellent way. We talked about that last week. I mean, these people are literally have superpowers. Some can heal. Some can speak other languages. And Paul says, I'm going to show you something that's more excellent than superpowers. What, Paul? Charity. Oh. Okay. When's that going to come? But charity is much more excellent. It's much more than, Bobby makes me feel good about myself. I love Bobby. It's so much higher than that. But the thing that I take away from it is charity is not about me. You know, it's deny me, help the other person. So, and here's a good operating definition of charity. It is love. People say charity is love doing something. It's more than that. Love that does something good, but not just something good. We'll talk about that later. It's love that does something good in order to benefit somebody else. You know, I can go do good things all day, and if it's not benefiting anybody, what's the point? I've been doing good things all alone in my backyard all day. Oh, okay. But that's what charity is. I'm doing something good for the express purpose of building you up, helping you, doing something for you. And that's not fun. Not pleasing to me. You can charity all day long and not receive 1 ounce of love. Isn't that what Paul said? The more I love you, the less I be loved. It's usually what happens when you function in charity. But that's what that's the mind of Christ that Philippians talks about in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He was the creator God of the universe and takes upon himself the form of a servant and made himself of no reputation in the likeness of men, the beings he created. That's charity. Talking about love versus charity. Love. Wait. Charity. There's something about writing on this whiteboard. Does not. If you had to choose between the two, I'd want the one that doesn't fail. You've all heard the verse before, 1 Corinthians 13, charity never faileth. Love sure does. We saw that. Light comes into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. You can't get much of a bigger fail than that. If we're going to, let's get our, we're in the Twitter era. Hashtag fail, light's in the world. I hate you, light. I love darkness. Love can be love for darkness, like we said. Another love, this is one of the more sad verses in your Bible. 2 Timothy 4:10. Now you remember Paul did such a bang up job in his ministry that he died pretty much penniless and alone. The apostle that God called out, so he's going to have to take that up with Joel Osteen about his best life now. But 2 Timothy 4:10, you know, Paul, a guy who gives his life to the ministry. How many times was he beaten? How many times was he shipwrecked? How many times was he put in jail? How many? And he just kept pressing on, and look what happens to him. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. So here's a guy that was with him, working with him. I love evil. I love this wicked world more. And he quits. One more that leaves him. So that's a love fail. You've directed your love in the wrong direction. But, and that's why charity cannot fail, because charity is directed towards God's will and what God wants. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. Love, in its certain context, can behave itself unseemly. I don't know how much more unseemly you get than saying, "Hi, apostle of God's grace to the world, I quit. I love the present evil world. I'm going to Thessalonica." Love can do that. Love can take you into that, but charity can't. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So that's why charity doesn't fail, because charity is oriented towards God's will. Philippians 2 talks about people all seeking their own, but we need people who seek after the things which are Christ's. Now, I mentioned charity is better than just doing good earlier. Charity is better, more excellent than just doing good works. You don't need God or the Bible to do good works. People are doing good works all over the planet every day. Pull up the list of top 10 charities. Find, you know, how many of those are associated with the Bible or God. You don't need God or His Word to do good things. In 1 Corinthians 12, I talked about, you know, I've got something better than superpowers. It's more excellent than superpowers. Charity. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And, you know, when it comes to charity, we have this innate and keen ability to pick out everybody else's faults. We can find them, spot them, label them, categorize them, put them in filing drawers and have them all piled up, everybody else's faults. And then as soon as that's turned on us, it's, no, it's not my fault. I'm justified. No, I'm good. I didn't do anything wrong. We love to self-justify ourselves when we're accused of error. And that's the norm, but if we're going to operate in charity, simply being right or not wrong or not sinful, it's not good enough. Charity is a much, much higher standard than that. What am I talking about here? We looked at Romans 14 earlier. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block. You see how the lens changed now? Don't judge the other guy, but judge you and what you're doing. You don't put a stumbling block in front of somebody. So now, if I'm going to be charitable, I have to judge me for your benefit. Why would I ever want to do that? To put the microscope on me, judge me, evaluate me for your good? I may have time for that later. I don't have, you know, that's our natural inclination. Why would I ever want to do that? Well, it's charity. It's love doing something good that benefits somebody else. That's what the standard is. Paul talked about in his letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 3, that he was night and day praying exceedingly because he wanted to perfect that which was lacking in the Thessalonians' faith. I want to be there. I want to find out what you don't know, what you need to know, what you're kind of wobbly on, and I want to perfect that which is lacking in you. That's charity. That's, what can I do to help you? What can I do to build you up, to edify you? But good works is not necessarily charity. I'll use an example close to home to illustrate this. I'm married. My wife, her in her hierarchy of needs in the relationship, she needs to talk about feelings. And all the men say, ugh. Let's talk about feelings, honey. But that's her higher need. That's what she needs to build her up, to edify her. That's what she lacks, what she needs perfected in. So I know this. She's waiting to talk. I go do the dishes. Then I vacuum all the carpets. Then I wash windows. Mm-hmm. I'm doing all these good works. I'm taking care of the kids. I'm taking out the garbage. I mowed the grass. I done all this stuff. Worked all day. Done plenty of good things. The house is spotless. The kids are bathed and smiling. And I haven't done one thing charitable towards my wife all day. Tons of good. But I didn't meet what she needed. And don't we all know people who do this? But, you know, that's a real problem in a lot of marriages where you have these spouses clashing. And, you know, they both look at each other and, I've been doing good all day. I haven't done a thing wrong. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done... But they're not meeting each other's needs. They're not perfecting that which is lacking. And, you know, it's funny. And we all know people like this. Some of them live in our own house. But... You know, they're just doing good things all the time and doing good things and to the point where there's problems and people are fighting over people doing all these good things because they're not functioning in charity. They're doing good things, but they're not functioning in charity. And you get to the point where people start to resent the other person who's done nothing but do good works all day. How does that happen? Why would somebody ever be irritated with somebody who's doing good things? Because they're not functioning in charity. My example with me and my wife, I did a bunch of good things all day, but I didn't do the one thing that she needed. I didn't do the one thing that I didn't want to do, but was the one thing that she needed. Who wants to talk about feelings? But come on. But that's the thing. I chose not to function in charity. I don't really like cleaning toilets, but I'd rather clean toilets than talk about feelings. I mean... So I did a good thing, but I didn't function in charity. I didn't do what would edify her. That's true. I did not clean toilets today. But here's the dirty little secret. And people who a lot of times are constantly doing good things all the time, and, you know, people get upset. Why aren't you appreciating me doing all these good things? Look at all these good things I'm doing. What, if we're honest, I think, we look in the mirror a lot of the times, we're not doing good things because we're trying to do good things for other people. We're doing them because we love doing them. We love how it makes us feel to do good. We will do the most menial, nastiest task because we love the praise we get from somebody else after, or love the recognition that we get after. So you're still selfish. You're not loving for the express purpose of benefiting somebody else. You may be cleaning toilets. But if you know the preacher's going to get up on Sunday, I'd like to recognize Brother Steve for cleaning toilets this week. You'll clean toilets every week, won't you? And all the people go, yeah. That's back to the original love. It pleases me. I did a hard thing so I could get pleased. That's not charity. But that's the secret. Here's an extreme example, 1 Corinthians 13 again. I don't know if any of you have ever thought about this verse or it just kind of gets jumbled in with all the other verses around it. But just look at it real closely. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I can go out penniless and on fire and have it not be charitable? How's that? Well, it's like what we talked about before. You know, if you're not doing that for the express purpose of benefiting somebody else, you just went through a lot of pain for nothing. And you need to look no farther than the man who wrote this book for an example. Keep your finger there. Look over in Philippians 1. We talked about this verse a few weeks ago. I can go out penniless and on fire and have it... Nope, that wasn't charitable. Sorry, Steve. Well, you can't try again, but... Look at what Paul says in Philippians 1. Now, remember, he's running into some hard times. He's thrown in jail. He's got bad things happening to him. He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, being in jail and having hard times and getting beaten. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, I know not. I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The man wants to die because he knows it's far better. He's met the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He's learned from him. The Lord Jesus has been with him through his ministry. He knows, if I assume room temperature, that's a great day for me. He knows that. I don't think any of us are there yet. We're all too young to look forward to death yet. But look at what, he's in a strait betwixt two. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He wants to die, but he says, I need to stay alive for you guys. Because of you. And he's serious. And if anybody, if you see how much trouble this man got himself into, if anyone knew how to go into a certain place and say the exact right thing to where they light you on fire, it was Paul. So he could have said, I'm done with this, Lord. I've been beaten so many times. I'm done. Walk out, get himself killed, and have it not be a charitable act. Because he'd be choosing to leave before he was supposed to. He'd be not serving the needs of the Philippians if he went out and did that to himself. So that's how you can give your body to be burned and have it not be a charitable act. Romans 14 again, back and forth. Charity is also not just concerned with being right and doing something good. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly, verse 5, seeketh not her own. And back to this stumbling block thing, where Paul talked about, I know there's nothing unclean of itself, I know that I can eat this food and there's no problem. And we tend, when you start to understand grace a little bit, when you start to pull the denominations and the religion out of your brain and replace it with a little grace, you tend to get this idea, I'm saved, I'm sealed, I can do whatever I want, and nobody can tell me I can't. That's the exact wrong attitude to grace. We talked about the verse earlier, don't destroy your younger brother with your liberty. Yes, you may be at liberty. Yes, there's nothing unclean, but would I walk into a synagogue on Saturday with a ham sandwich and tell them, I want to tell you about the grace of Jesus? No, it'd be wrong. I'd be offending them. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. And when we talk about the weaker brother, I remember when I was growing up, I used to get so sick of people. I'm a kid watching this stuff in church. And sister so-and-so is offended. Brother so-and-so is offended. Everybody's offended. I'm offended. I just got so sick of them. Like, get over it, people. You get offended so easy. Why are you so offended? And you get this mindset when you're dealing with somebody who doesn't understand or somebody who may be weaker of, just be strong, dummy. What's wrong with you? Falling over myself. But we can't do that. We need to guard the weaker brother. It's our job to build them up. So for us to look at somebody who may be weaker and not understand, and what's wrong with you, like Dr. Phil? We need to build them up. We need to suffer long and be kind and seek not our own and vaunt not ourselves and not puff ourselves up. That's what charity looks like. 1 Corinthians 10:23 talks about all things are lawful for me, but not all things expedient. I could stand up here with a beer in one hand and a doobie in the other hand, and that's lawful. Is that expedient to church? Is that expedient to teaching people? Is that expedient to looking like anything like a servant of Christ? No. But all things edify not. There's that word again in verse 23, edify not. It doesn't build up. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. I got to seek after everybody else's wealth. Great. Spiritual wealth, that is. But you may get irritated by having to look out for others. And Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly, looking around. Who might I offend? How can I, build people up? But, it's tiresome at times, but it's worth it if you want to function in charity, if you want to build people up. And we use that example in Philippians of what Christ did for us. It was extremely inconvenient for Christ, I think, to take the form of a servant and the form of a man and come down and die for our sins. So it's not like we don't have a pattern in our Savior. But finally, I said that the beginning. Charity is better than faith and hope. And I have I just grabbed three or four verses for each one on your outline there, but it's better than faith. Charity is better than faith. What's faith? You believe God's truth. You believe God's words. You hear the word of God, and you believe it, and you trust it. That's how you start with salvation. You hear the gospel that saves your soul. You hear that Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again. That's payment for your sins. Trust me, and I'll save you, and I'll forgive you. That's the gospel. You hear that. So that's faith. That's you believing, the start. Hope. Well, hope is when God's truth works in you. Let's just look at a verse here. Romans 4. Romans 4:18. So you start with faith. Now you're saved and sealed. And this is talking about Abraham. He said, who against hope believed in a hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So Abraham had this hope work into him and helped him make his choices. Romans 5. Hope gives you the ability to rejoice. Romans 5, 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So hope is building off faith. Hope is now you're not only believing God's truth, but God's truth is working in you. God's truth is changing you. It's changing how you think. It's changing how you see things, how you operate in the world. Now, charity is one better than that. Charity is God's truth working in you to benefit others. It's now just not about me and, oh, I believe in God, I trust His gospel, and I have hope, and that makes me X, Y, and Z. Now, charity is the next level. Charity is now, let's export this, what's happened to you. That's what evangelism is. Every time you tell somebody the gospel, every time you pass out a gospel tract, or any time you hear somebody say they don't understand something or they have a problem and you try to intervene and intervene with the truth for them, that's charity working. Because now you're exporting what's in you, what God's done for you, what He's turning you into, and you're broadcasting it to others. So of the three, faith and hope, most definitely charity is the best out of all. Because charity is, in essence, faith and hope being spread abroad, the love of God being spread abroad in our hearts. So that is all the material I have for this evening. Any comments? More questions?